edition of Best on the Board. It is Championship Sunday, just hours away from Championship Sunday. Welcome to the show. I'm Chris Meany, joined by Michael Beller. You can follow him on Twitter, at mbeller, myself, at Chris Meany. Just two episodes left, Beller, but we still want people to follow and rate, review, subscribe. I mean, if I keep coming on here with 0-for-4 picks, maybe they won't bring me back, but I mean, I think the show will be back, no?
Oh, the show will definitely be back, whether it's you or someone else, I don't know, but the show is going to live on, absolutely. We're going to take a little hiatus after the Super Bowl, but we will be talking plenty of gambling here, and I hope it's with you. I hope it's with you. I feel like you're going to bounce back this week.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe I should just take some chalk. It was a chalky weekend last week. Three of the four teams who were favored, won: KC, Green Bay, San Fran. Of course, the big upset, Tennessee. It's been the remarkable story of this postseason. The Tennessee Titans, how they found a way to get it done into the later parts of the season when they made that switch for Ryan Tannehill. They go into New England, win. They go into Baltimore, win. If they win, go into Kansas City and they win this weekend and Ryan Tannehill goes to Miami for the Super Bowl, that's going to be, I think, one of the craziest sports stories, not just NFL sports stories of all time. Nonetheless, rate and review, subscribe, 40% off if you head to theathletic.com/bestontheboard. You can see all of the articles, all of the podcasts, new podcasts launching every other day, it seems like, at The Athletic. Rates and Barrels is one that I've been really listening to over the past couple of weeks with Eno Saris and Derek Van Riper. Of course, Josh Donaldson just signed with the Minnesota Twins. Good luck to any lefty that has to face that lineup, but they're talking about fantasy baseball all the time, getting you set for your drafts. So what's up, man? Big takeaways from last week?
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill's a god, I think, is the big takeaway from last week. Or at least he knows how to ride on an angel's wings in Derrick Henry. I mean, I can't believe what this Titans team has done. And we both sat here a couple weeks ago. We both picked the Titans to win and beat the Patriots. Yeah. So it's not like we were Titans haters. It's not like we thought that this was a team that was getting it done with smoke and mirrors. But I just thought that the ride was going to come to an end. We were going to be celebrating a great season and a great turnaround for them and for Ryan Tannehill's career. And Lamar Jackson and company would be moving on to their rightful spot in the AFC Championship game. But hats off to Mike Vrabel and the game plan that Tennessee put together to stifle Lamar Jackson and Baltimore's offense. And here they are now in the AFC Championship game. I would love to see an alternate timeline, however, Meany, where Mark Andrews catches that pass on Baltimore's first possession and it doesn't end in an interception.
Well,
as far as I'm concerned, that was the play of the game. It happened right away. But I think that's a very different game if Mark Andrews catches that ball.
It's kind of the script that we painted. Like, how is Tennessee going to win the game? We know they want to run the football with Derrick Henry. They will use the play action. Tannehill takes some shots. He's very accurate. We said all that. But when we painted the script of how Tennessee could potentially win, we had said maybe, just maybe, Baltimore hadn't played their starters since week 16 at the bye week. Maybe they start slow. Maybe there's a turnover early. All of a sudden, Tennessee has that long drive where they score some points. And then, I mean, that's how they win. You're right. That ball was thrown a little high. It was tipped. If that's maybe just tipped higher, tipped lower, caught, maybe just that one play alone, you're probably right. That was definitely one of the turning points in that game. Derrick Henry has just been, he's been unbelievable. I mean, 96 carries over the last three games, Beller, 588 yards. I mean, he's just, you can't stop him. He's hit the century mark in like seven of his past eight games on the ground. He's been really, really good. But there's a couple takeaways from last weekend. I mean, we have to talk about that big comeback with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, anybody who's been listening to the show, I mean, the bets have been so-so for me with the spreads, but a lot of people know I'm a coward when it comes to bets. So there's a couple things. I like to tease down teams, especially underdogs. So as much as I didn't get that Green Bay-Seattle game, I was fine with just not getting that point. You know, if you just picked them straight up there with Seattle in the 4.5, but live betting, man. Live betting can really save your day, and it was a bad weekend for me, but Kansas City, and I tell you what, it wasn't even going for the field goal and not going for a 4th-and-1. I mean, that could have been definitely the turning point right there. I mean, I think that was, get your thoughts in a second. I think that was the turning point. 24-0, you go 4th-and-1. It looked like Bill O'Brien wanted to go for it, called the timeout, was shaking his head. I still don't know what happened there. He'd said after the game that he didn't want to kick a field goal punt or kick a field goal the entire day. That's fine. I mean, you're going to have to punt eventually. But he had said that Kansas City was probably going to get 50 points, so he didn't want to settle for field goals. He settled. And then the next time they had the ball, they tried the trick play, the trick punt, and that didn't work out. And the turning point, it just seemed like it was over. But Beller, Kansas City was plus 280, only plus 280 when they were down 24 to nothing. I still jumped on it, but first team in NFL history in postseason to be down 20 nothing in the first half and then come away at the end of the second quarter with the lead. What happened to Houston?
I mean, what happened to Houston was just that they scored all those points on fluke plays, right? You've got the blown coverage. I'll even give them credit for, because maybe, you know, that's a design of theirs. But you've got the block punt. You've got the fumble return. I mean, there were just a couple of fluky plays, or the Tyreek Hill, not the fumble return, but the Tyreek Hill muff punt, and then the block punt. You've got a couple of big special teams plays that was essentially Kansas City spotting them 14 points, and then. Yeah. Once you get beyond that, you can't count on those plays happening every single time you get to a special teams play. Once you get beyond those plays, then we were really playing football. And then we saw what we knew was the case going into the game, Kansas City, the far superior team. So it was still an incredible comeback, obviously. But I really, sitting there as someone who backed the Chiefs across the board, I almost never felt bad about having them even at -9.5 because it was so early in that game. And they were so clearly the better team going into the game. And once they got things rolling, then you could see that things were going to be swinging in their direction. And, you know, I actually didn't think that the fake punt call by Houston was a bad call.
I liked the call. It was a good call. It was a one-on-one. Buddy made a play.
They almost had it. And yeah. Sorensen just made a great play. And one of our own Chiefs guys, Seth Kaiser, tweeted out a great video of it where you see Sorensen sniffing it out even before the snap. And the up man, I can't remember who it was, but, you know, is slowly shifting to his right, Sorensen's left, as that play's getting ready. And Sorensen is just mirroring his movement. So really impressive play by Sorensen. I think it's a good call. And if they get that, they really quiet down Arrowhead Stadium and maybe swing momentum back in their direction. But just a great play by Sorensen, hell of a comeback by the Chiefs, and sets us up for an AFC Championship game that I think we really thought one side was going to happen and really thought the other side was not going to happen.
Well, everyone wanted Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and then at one point on Saturday, we're a little bit nervous if we were going to get just Titans and Texans. It's just a little strange. But people just saying that game was over, I mean, that game was never over. Obviously, you know, a lot of people were live betting it. I had tweeted it. A lot of people were tweeting, said they had plus 320 on some books that they were able to do that. But you're right, just the little things, not just the fluke plays from Houston to start the game, but how about the drops to start in Kansas City and Tyreek Hill, and then saying, oh, Tyreek Hill, you know, yeah, back in the day he was, I'd say back in the day, like he's been around for a long time and he hasn't, but, you know, he was returning a lot of punts last year. He didn't really do that this year. And they put him in situations to return punts when they're down and they felt like they needed a spark, and then he fumbled. And at one point, it's like, wow, nothing can go right for KC. And then Patrick Mahomes throws four touchdowns in the second quarter, and the game is absolutely over. So that was a remarkable comeback. And I agree. I liked the call going for it, like faking the punt. But it just seemed odd and strange that they wouldn't do that on fourth and one earlier. And maybe they were just really trying to throw KC off there. Okay, well, we're not going to go for it on fourth and one. We're definitely not going to go for it on our own end of the football field. But nonetheless, one more game I wanted to talk to you about was that Seattle Green. I honestly do feel robbed. I came in here and said it was an easy call for me. And we talked, I think, the week before about Brian Schottenheimer and his game plan and what he does. And we were just like, okay, well, how stubborn will he be against Philadelphia and try to run the football? I just thought, man, he really put Russell Wilson and the Seahawks behind the eight ball early in that game. I mean, there was a drive. It wasn't even really considered a drive. It was a possession, rather, where it was three straight runs from Marshawn Lynch, and he just ran into a wall. And I was thinking, what the heck are you doing? You have Russell Wilson, use him. And they put him in a bad situation. And you saw in the second half when he was throwing the ball and scrambling for his life, they really outgained Green Bay significantly in that second half. You can talk about a missed field goal and having to go for two to get that point. Nonetheless, Green Bay still got it done, but I felt like I got a little burn there. And Schottenheimer, man, we've said it before, sometimes he's a little hard-headed in terms of his game planning.
Yeah, but you can't feel robbed. This is who he's always been. This is what this team always is. You knew that going in. You knew what you were lying down with. I don't think you should feel robbed at all. You should just, you know, feel like
robbed by half a point.
You should have
throw the football, Brian.
Should have rode with me, man. Should have rode with me. Packers all the way.
All right. Well, let's get into that and let's start there. Let's see if you're going Packers all the way. Let's see if you're continuing
the nightcap first. The nightcap first.
Yes, that's right. Let's do the nightcap first. Let's switch gears here a little bit because nobody wants to come in here and just and hear us talk about KC and how they're just amazing. We're going to count out the Titans again. So let's start with, I think, is the tougher game to call. And both of these games, by the way, they are rematches. And we'll start with the NFC. It is the nightcap, Green Bay at San Fran, a rematch of Week 12 where it was just all 49ers. 37-8 was the final score. There was a lot on the line in terms of just, you know, they finished 1-2, but at that moment, Beller, you know, you and I were talking on the show about how there was so much on the line, the number one seed at play. That game was over early. I think it was the second play of the game. Rodgers had a fumble, set up San Fran early in great field possession, and they easily got a touchdown. They relied on their defense. Rodgers was sacked five times. He's 20 for 33, only 104 yards. No D Ford, no Quan Alexander in that game as well, and both returned last week. Davante Adams was the big, that was another thing last week. Like, Seattle, guys, Davante Adams, just cover him, double team him, triple team him. There's nobody else in that football team who's catching passes. He's important. You're right. He 8 for 160, a big game. He had 12 targets in that game against San Fran, but he only caught 7 of them for 43 yards. Mal Williams was the second leader in terms of catches on the Green Bay side of things, 7 for 35. He was also the leading rusher, 45 yards on 11 carries. What do you make of the Packers the second time around having to go into San Fran?
This is a tough one for me. Yes, like you said, the first game, the AFC game, not a tough one for me. I think we all know where both of us are going to be going in that one. This is a tough one. I think there are strong arguments on both sides. At first blush, it does feel like too many points. Again, what did we talk about last week, meaning that all season long we talk about the Packers just don't feel like this great team, this dominant team. It's not an Aaron Rodgers passing offense of old. They've been won a lot of close games. They've had teams that maybe aren't quite in their class be able to stick around, but they still went 13-3. They still went 13-3 against a pretty decent schedule in a division that sent another team to the playoffs. The Bears were at least an average to slightly above average team, maybe because of what their defense was able to do, and the Packers swept them. They beat the Chiefs in one of the games without Patrick Mahomes, but we saw Matt Moore be a pretty capable guy in those few starts he had to make, and the Packers won that game. I believe that game was an Arrowhead, too.
Check. Yeah, right. It was a big Aaron Jones game.
Yeah, right. So you go into Arrowhead. I know it's Matt Moore, but that's still an impressive victory, right? I mean, and they took care of business against the teams that they were supposed to beat. They won in Minnesota. They beat Seattle at the in the playoffs. They've taken care of a lot of things that they're supposed to take care of, and so I still think we need to be giving them that credit, even if we look at their respective resumes and think that San Francisco clearly looks like the better team. So this, on its face, feels like too many points. It is hard to get away from the complete domination that San Francisco put up against them a couple of months ago, knowing that they're going back to that same stadium, knowing that San Francisco, I think, if anything, is only better since then. That was not too long after they acquired Emmanuel Sanders, so you start to work him into the offense a little bit more. That was really right around when Deebo Samuel started to take on a new, larger role in San Francisco's offense. He had a touchdown in that game against Green Bay. So even though it's the same personnel at this point, and that even at that point of the season, San Francisco's offense was well established and what it wanted to do, it's still a little bit of a different group that Green Bay is going to be seeing this week than the one they saw back in November. It makes it a really tough game for me. If this were beneath a touchdown, if this was 6.5 or something like that, I would have a lot more confidence in backing San Francisco. But I still just can't get away from 7.5 points. Green Bay deserves the credit of being a 14-3 team at this point of the season. They've pretty much been one of the top two seeds in the NFC almost all season long. No matter what point you draw a line at, Green Bay was up there, right there ahead of New Orleans and ahead of whoever was losing the NFC West at the time, not just because of them being in the same division as who was leading the NFC West, but based on record as well. I mean, there was a time where Green Bay held on to the number one seed in the NFC before losing that game to San Francisco. So I lean Green Bay here. I don't feel great about it because of how good San Francisco has been at home and been all season, but it just feels like too many points for me.
Yeah, it opened up as 7 49ers. 7.5 now for San Fran, the total at 45. The under has been the play, it seems like, the entire playoffs. I mean, the wildcard weekend, 4 for 4 for the unders, and overall 6 for 8 for the unders, of course. Nobody thought that the KC Houston game was gonna go under, but, we got some late points from Seattle in the fourth quarter to have that game go over last week, but, Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I've been hesitant to bet this yet. I want to bet San Fran. I wonder if the number depends on where you look, like Westgate 7. I've seen it go from 7 to 7.5. Actually, it is right now live 7.5. It's 7 right now, Westgate. It's moved around
so
all
it's
morning.
It's moved since, yeah. Since yeah. We
Does it,
first
do you
put
think
this
it has,
together an hour ago.
Yeah, and I saw it last night. And you know what? I was thinking to myself, the George Kittle thing, and I don't know if that's enough. Like, he hasn't been practicing. I expect him to play, but I don't know if that's enough, like, for him just to be questionable, for that to come down to 6.5. Or, you know, you had just said you wished it was 6.5, and I wonder if you really are feeling the Niners – maybe you wait this out until Friday. I know. I expect George Kittle to play, don't you?
Oh,
but do you think that has anything to do with the line moving a point?
I mean, maybe, but I no one thinks he's not playing. I don't think that that's really what it is. I would imagine that that's based on just where money's coming in and, you know, who is making those bets and where big money's coming in is what I would guess is moving the line right now. I mean, no one, you know, George Kittle's playing in this game, and George Kittle's going to be just fine. I don't think we should expect. I mean, they should be taking it easy with him, right? He had some injuries toward the end of the season. He missed a couple of games, so I think they should be taking it easy with him. George Kittle doesn't need much practice time to be ready for this game on Sunday. So it's just a really tough game to call. I've said it in both of our playoff shows, and I'm going to say it in this one too. If this was a regular season game and we were talking with 12 to 16 games, 13 to 16 games to be able to bet on, this would be an easy pass for me just because it's a really tough game to handicap with what these two teams have shown us all season long. And that's another thing, right? I mean, these have been two of the more consistent teams in the entire NFL all season long. And you can say what you want about Green Bay having to be playing these close games, and you watch them and they just don't necessarily wow you, but they win. They do keep those games close against all manner of opponent, and they win a ton. They've won 14 of the 17 games they've played this season. That does not happen by accident. You know what can happen by accident? Going 11-5 and losing your first playoff game. Going 11-5, winning a relatively weak division, and then getting beat at home in your first playoff game. That can happen almost by accident and by the way the NFL works and the small schedule and the sample size and who your opponents are. That can happen, right? But you don't win 14 out of 17 games, win a strong division, get a bye, beat a team like Seattle, and get to a championship game by accident. So, I mean, it's just really hard, even though everything we've seen this year tells me San Francisco is easily the better team and well-equipped to win this game by more than a touchdown. It's just really hard for me to fade Green Bay when they're catching more than a touchdown. I mean, go and look at their results. I mean, this is just a team that doesn't get blown out, right?
No, you're dead on.
Yeah, they lost one game this season by more than a touchdown. It was a pretty fluky one at the Chargers right after that win at Kansas City. So, I mean, that's a quick turnaround. It was a short week. They still had the full 7 days, but that's a quick turnaround to go from Kansas City, fly back to Green Bay, then fly back to Los Angeles, and two road games in a row, and that sort of stuff's going to happen in the regular season. Baltimore lost two games in a row in the regular season. One of them was to the Cleveland Browns. That sort of stuff is going to happen to pretty much every single team in the regular season. I don't really hold that against them. I look more at the full body of work, and this is just a team that no matter who they're playing, they really don't get blown out. It's hard for me to fade them if they're getting more than a touchdown.
I think that was my problem last week with them, is just like I look at them overall and watching them, and they've most of their games they've started pretty well. I mean, obviously they didn't start well in that game against San Fran earlier in the year, but they've started well, and it's almost like they haven't put teams away and they just kind of hung. And it was much like last week. They get up to a big lead, they just go through the motions and end up winning the game. I mean, earlier in the year, week two against Minnesota, that felt like that. Mm-hmm. They get up to that huge lead against Denver, and the Broncos kind of look like they were just hanging around. The same thing happened against Detroit twice this season. A couple weeks, just a few weeks ago against Washington, they get up to that big lead and they're just content. They're just fine. You're right. They play a lot of close and tight games. They're going to have to start fast in this one. Guaranteed. They cannot start the exact same way against San Fran because, I mean, it's Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to do a whole lot to win the games. He hasn't had to do a whole lot all year to win some of these games. They rely on their defense. They get pressure on the quarterback. They run the football. And Kyle Shanahan is I've been extremely impressed with him to start every single game and to come out of the second half and to start every third quarter. He just seems to have a game plan ready, and I feel like they're going to be able to score some points. You know what? I'm just going to lean San Fran here. I'm just going to pick San Fran in the better team. I don't think that Devontae Adams is going to be able to have that kind of success. I mean, Richard Sherman is, he's been pretty solid this season. I mean, 46.8 passer rating when targeted against him. Overall, San Fran, fewest passing yards per attempt, fewest, you know, the lowest per completion. They're fifth in sacks. I mentioned four. D Ford had missed like a handful of games. I believe he missed five games. He wasn't in this matchup earlier in the year. So it does the 7.5. It's a little unsettling. I'll be honest with you. It really is. So, and I think that's why you're leaning Green Bay, but I'll just lean with, I think, the more balanced, sound team. And there's just more options. Like, who is going to step up in Green Bay? Who is it going to be? Lazard? Guys, like 35 catches in the season. It has to be one of the running backs. Like Aaron Jones is second on the team in catches and targets. Mm-hmm. It has to be somebody else has to step up in this Green Bay offense, and I'm just not sure who it's going to be.
I don't know. I think it's, if I'm looking for someone to step up and be that second weapon or even a third weapon, if you want to say alongside Aaron Rodgers / Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, I look at the defense. We know that this team can get after the quarterback. Obviously, they created a lot of havoc against Seattle last week, and part of that has to do with Seattle's offensive line and Russell Wilson's style of play. But this is a team that has been able to do that all season. They've got one of the best pass rushers in the league in Za'Darius Smith, and just one guy like that and the trickle-down effect that he has on an entire defense when you have to pay so much attention to him is huge. And it's not like he's the only guy on that defense who can get after the passer. So that's really where I look for Green Bay to be able to make some plays in addition to what we typically expect out of Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones. It's not Alan Lazard. It's not MVS. It's not Jimmy Graham. It's the defense making some plays and keeping San Francisco more in check than I think a lot of people are expecting them to do going into the game.
Yeah, pretty cool storyline with Shanahan and Matt LaFleur. I mean, Shanahan, offensive coordinator in Atlanta, when they went to the Super Bowl, Matt LaFleur was the quarterback coach there. So there's a pretty cool relationship. There's always a neat little storyline usually at this time of the year.
And you've got LaFleur's brother, too, on San Francisco's coaching staff.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So entertaining game. It's going to be a good one. Just be a coward like me. Just tease down San Fran. They ain't going to lose, guys. They ain't
going to lose. So you're going San Fran. I'm going Green Bay here.
Yeah.
You really don't think there's any chance Green Bay pulls this one off?
Well, of course there's a chance. I mean, it's the Final Four. I mean, it's
you don't
football,
think there,
right?
is there
is Tennessee
there,
is playing in the championship weekend.
Is there more than a 20% chance? 1 in 5 that Green Bay pulls it off?
Yeah, I would say there is 28% chance that Green Bay pulls this off.
Man, I mean, it's gonna be a fun one. I'm happy it's the nightcap and not the first game because I like wrapping up the day with what I think is going to be the better game. No offense, Tennessee Titans, but I do think it's gonna be a close one. I think it's gonna be a fun one. Love seeing Aaron Rodgers on this stage.
Yes.
But I love seeing Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback like him, and a totally new blood team in San Francisco on this stage. Like that is like a dream championship game matchup to me.
And of course, I mean, there's another storyline there with San Fran and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and what the area means to him and wanting to be a 49er and all that stuff. I know he was asked about it after the game and all he wanted to talk about was drinking scotch, but I know he's excited for sure. It is going to be an entertaining game. And you know, these are two teams that I think halfway through the year, I really, really started to buy into San Fran, but there must be something in the back of my mind here with Green Bay that is just, you know, made me a little hesitant to back them this season. We just talked about it all. Like they've hung around close games, but I just there's something there. I just not fully. At the end of the day, I just don't feel like San Fran is going to let Devontae Adams beat them. That's what it really is for me. Is that was the turning point of everything that happened last week with Seattle. They just couldn't find a way. And a lot of teams. I mean, credit to obviously LaFleur and finding ways to get Devontae Adams open and quick passes, and that's what's going to happen this week. They're going to have to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands pretty quick because that pressure is going to pile up. And we saw it last time that these two teams played. Can you believe it's conference championship week? Time's up for two teams playing this weekend, but you still have time to feed your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under their salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. Plus, for a limited time. All new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with throughout the playoffs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code RUN for a limited time. Both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500 on your next deposit. New users, be sure to enter code RUN during signup, and you'll also get a free shot at over $750K with your first deposit. That's code RUN, and you can get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, so any Titans fans, feel free to throw the hate. I mean, Beller did say we were on you guys.
Let's get Eric Young on here. Let's get our guy, Eric Young, right?
Let's get Eric Young. It's funny because I had mentioned this show on Four Stack Lines as a fantasy hockey podcast here at The Athletic as well. And we just had Rob Rossi on, who covers the Penguins, and he had some great insight there, Sidney Crosby's return. It was actually a pretty good listen. He nailed a bunch of things that ended up happening a couple hours later in that game, if you're a hockey fan. But I had Eric Young on, and I had mentioned the show to him, and I said, you know, Beller and I, we're backing your Titans. They're going to go into Foxborough, and they're going to win. They're not just going to cover. They're going to win. He's like, well, I don't know. It's almost like he didn't, like, believe. And I'm sure Titans fans listening right now, they're on this, like, I can't believe it. I got to pinch myself a little bit. It reminds me of, like, the Eagles a couple years ago, and it's not as crazy, but when Nick Foles took over, and they were just underdogs, and they kept finding a way to win football games and building confidence, and all of a sudden, the offense, it was playing to – Vrabel said it the other day. I saw him. He's just like, I don't know. We're just playing to his strengths. Like, how does Ryan Tannehill have 15 completions for 160 yards in two playoff games, and they won in New England and won in Baltimore? Yeah, Derrick Henry has something to do with that. But, yeah, it is crazy. That is crazy to think that he has 15 completions for 160 yards in two games, and Tennessee has basically rolled. They've had their way over these last two games against New England and against Baltimore. So, I mean, I'll paint the same script for you. I guess that's really the only way. I mean, this is how they won. Remember that win? What was it, week 10? It was Patrick Mahomes.
Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, the first game back for Mahomes after missing a few. It was that late, crazy, what was it, the punt? There was a weird punt that happened in that game, and Tennessee came back late, and I think it was Adam Humphries only catching that game, and they found a way to win. It was the
It was a blocked field goal.
That's right. It was a blocked field goal. And if you look at Tannehill's numbers in that game, 13 for 19, 181, it's very similar to what he's done over the past couple weeks. They leaned on Henry. He was 23 for 188. Jonnu Smith led the team in catches with 4 for 36 yards. Nobody else was catching more than a couple passes on that team, and they just relied on the run. So, Bella, I mean, paint the same script for you, man. How are they going to win? Tannehill's going to have to throw the ball more than 20 times.
Yeah, look, I mean, they did it once before. They've done it the last 2 weeks, doing it against New England, doing it against Baltimore. Those two are different from one another. Doing it against Baltimore is very different than doing it against Kansas City. That's what they have to do. I love what the Titans have done. I've backed them a lot on this show and throughout the end of the season, and we did it against New England. It's not happening. It's just not happening. Kansas City is rolling. I mean, you go back to the end of the regular season and when Patrick Mahomes really came back and got going. I mean, you look at what this team has done. That game against the Titans was his first game back, and they lost it. It took that fluky block field goal. I remember us coming on the next. You and I both took Kansas City that week.
We weren't happy.
They were minus 5.5. They were winning by 5 when Harrison Butker goes to attempt that field goal. There was like 40 seconds left in the game, and the Titans had no timeouts. It's like, all right, make this field goal. We get our 8. It was a little bit harder than I wanted it to be, but we go ahead and we get our cover. They block the field goal. They go and win. It was crazy. But Patrick Mahomes threw for 446 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. Patrick Mahomes looked like himself. And then from that point forward, this team has not lost. They beat the Chargers. They beat Oakland 40-9. They go into New England. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Broncos by 20. They beat the Bears in Chicago by 23. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Texans by 20 in the playoffs. This is the Kansas City Chiefs' time. This is Andy Reid's time. All credit is due to Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel, what they've been able to do Defensively, DMP is just drawing up an incredible game plan against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last week, and then the players going out and executing it, getting pressure on Lamar Jackson, making him look uncomfortable, especially when they got down and he had to drop back and throw the ball a bunch. The Titans deserve all the credit in the world. They are not here by fluke. They earned their way into the playoffs and into the AFC Championship game. But it's time for the Chiefs to show who they are, the best team in the AFC. I believe the best team remaining in the NFL, a team that's going to be winning the Super Bowl a couple of weeks from now. I just don't see them repeating what they were able to do against the Chiefs back in the regular season. And that entire game, you know, the Chiefs were winning that entire game. The only time that the Titans had a lead early in the second quarter, and that was on a fumble return touchdown. And then the Chiefs, boom, tie the game before halftime, boom, take the lead right away in the second half. And then they get the lead. They win the game at the end with that Adam Humphries touchdown. So it did go back and forth in the second half, but it was never a game where the Titans felt in control of it. There were multiple times in that game where the Chiefs felt like they were in control. And if you spin forward now to where we are, I just don't see how the Titans are able to repeat what they did in that one or repeat what they've done in either of the first two games of the playoffs against the Chiefs as they are now. The way that they're playing, it's just a team that can kill you in so many different ways. And that was about the time also after that that the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo went back to the drawing board with what they're going to do defensively. And we have seen a much different defensive team in Kansas City from that point forward. I think the Chiefs are just obviously the better team. 7 doesn't feel like enough to me. You would really have to get this game into double digits before I thought about not taking Kansas City. This is one that if it were a regular season game, I would be backing confidently. I really like the Chiefs this weekend.
You'd lock them in, probably.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
If you were to pick two locks, you'd probably lock them in. Yeah, I mean, you go back to that game again, and there's one game this season where Patrick Mahomes didn't have a rushing attempt. One. And it was that game. And you just mentioned it. We mentioned it earlier. It was his first game back from missing an injury. Last week, 7 rushing attempts, season high. The week before that, 7 rushing attempts. So it's back-to-back games where he's at least ran the ball 7 times. That just shows you, like, he's not a huge runner. Of course, he can, right? You know, he's got 3 games this year with at least 50 rushing yards. But just the fact that he's using his legs and he's running, it just goes to show us, you know, how healthy he is. And I know you don't care when I tell you that Derrick Henry is 3-0 against the Chiefs in his career, and he's just lit them up on the ground.
Do
and,
you care?
You know, no, I don't. That's just throwing it out there. Okay. The fact that Tennessee went into Kansas City and beat them in a playoff game a couple years ago, but it wasn't Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. It was Alex Smith.
It was Alex Smith. Patrick Mahomes is on the sidelines.
Patrick Mahomes was on the sidelines. So the big thing, really, there's a couple key factors here. Chris Jones, obviously, still not practicing. He's a big part of, you know, stopping the run, but they had no problem last week stopping the run against Houston. Do you think that they, you know, a lot of people just assume that Tennessee is a run-heavy team, and then you look at the numbers overall, and you see Tannehill not throwing the ball a ton. They do take some shots early in the game. Saw it last week, play action, took the shot downfield, and then they lean on the ground. Like, almost 1,000 of Derrick Henry's rushing yards this season have come in second half of games. Do you think that they've come out slinging, or is this the ultimate way to try and beat Kansas City? Is, listen, let's, what we talked about a couple weeks ago when we said Tennessee had put up that 10-minute drive where they just punted. Is that going to be their focus? Like, this is the only way. We can't have Mahomes on the field. Obviously, it seems crazy to say we can't get into shootout with Mahomes, but do you think that they change their game plan and they try to fool Kansas City a little bit and throw the ball, or is it just going to be a whole lot of, let's just feed Henry?
I think you got to play to your own strengths. I don't think you can worry at this point of the season. I mean, they know what got them to this point. They know what got them into the playoffs and with 2 upset victories on the road and to the AFC Championship game. So I don't think you can change that up too much. I don't think you can run back the exact same script you did against Baltimore and New England and win this game. Right. This is just too good of an offense. And you look at the numbers, and Baltimore obviously had a great offense all season long, and it's silly to try to call them a one-dimensional offense, but they are a run-heavy offense that is obviously
at its best. They're not built to come from behind.
They're just not. Right? And, I mean, you need – that offense needs Lamar Jackson on the ground making plays to open up the passing lanes. It's true. And is it an effective strategy, and is it one that can carry over through the years? I absolutely think it is. But it's not one that is as resilient as Kansas City's offense, right? I mean, Kansas City gets down 24 last week, and they don't have to change a thing about their offense. As great as Baltimore's offense is, as great as Lamar Jackson is, and as great as he was this season, as dangerous as he was, as rightful of that unanimous MVP is going to be, or maybe not quite unanimous, but MVP as it's going to be, that's not a team that can just do what it does no matter, score situation. In Kansas City, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if they're up by 24, down by 24. They can do exactly what they do every single week, and they don't have to change a thing no matter what's happening in the game. So this is just a resilient offense, and I just don't think that there's anything Tennessee can do short of creating a ton of turnovers to be able to hang with that in a game like this, in a game of this magnitude. It just feels like the better team should be able to rise to the occasion in this one, and I just don't think you can take forward what you've done the first 2 weeks of the playoffs and copy and paste and say this is how we're going to beat Kansas City, because it's just a different beast. It's just a totally different animal, and I just think the Chiefs are going to be able to control this one throughout.
Yeah, I agree. Trying to have a combo here, try to justify the Titans. And the funny thing, at the end of the day, we're not even talking about their defense, we're talking about their offense and how they have to at least score 30 points and how are they going to find a way. And then defensively, they play a lot of man, and that's not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw Houston, they couldn't get any pressure off Mahomes, and anytime that they tried to double Kelce or Tyreek, it was just like Damian Williams out of the backfield, or like Sammy Watkins shows up with a couple plays. It's just, and Tyreek Hill said it, and man, did he ever sound cocky saying how they play a lot of man, they play a lot of zone. When that happens, we're just unguardable. They just can't stop us. And I thought to myself, he's not wrong. But man, as much as I like Andy Reid and Mahomes, and it's fun, and I'd like to see them in the Super Bowl against a team like San Fran who can dial up some pressure and maybe challenge Patrick Mahomes a little bit. Just I wouldn't mind the Titans winning, but I can't back them. Can't back them with KC.
You look at that game. They put up 32 points in that game, Meanie. And I mean, yeah. Patrick Mahomes still wasn't moving.
Right, exactly.
I mean, Mahomes was, you said it, the only game where he had no rushing attempts. That was as statuesque of Patrick Mahomes, or statue. I mean, the dude's always statuesque, let's be honest, right?
Yeah,
The dude's an Adonis. Okay. But that was the most statue-like you're ever going to see Patrick Mahomes, and he still sat back and picked them apart for 446 yards, 3 touchdowns, 9 yards per attempt, something like that. Pull it up here.
Silly.
Yeah, right, 446 yards on 50, so a little bit more than 9 yards per attempt for Patrick Mahomes in that game, and they scored 32 points and 35 without a blocked field goal. I mean, this team, it's a machine. It's an offensive machine. And I just don't see Tennessee getting in the way of them this week. So an unbelievable run by the Titans. A really fun story, like you said. Ryan Tannehill made himself a whole lot of money, and rightfully so.
Yeah, for sure.
But the dream ends this week, and the Chiefs win this one. I don't think it's going to be much of a contest, Meanie.
Tannehill, 9.5 yards per attempt in that game.
on 19
completions.
Let's see. Right? 9.5 yards per attempt? On 19 attempts, or 9.1 yards per attempt on 50. I know which one I'll ride with.
And Tyreek Hill, I think, after playing the Titans, I think I know why he was so cocky in that game. He had 19 targets. He caught 11 passes for 157 yards, and Kelce caught all 7 targets thrown his way. Mm-hmm. And Kelce is just, to get 3 touchdowns in one quarter, the Texans had no answer at all for him. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, who does? Exactly, it's tough. Okay, man, the season, it's not quite over. We're going to be on a 2-week break here. We'll be back for the Super Bowl. We'll be talking about some props and Super Bowl picks and all that good stuff.
Start listening to Demi Lovato now.
That's what I was just going to say that. Wow, nice.
sorry, I had a
early
over-under.
No, yeah. I like it. We're on the same page here. what's that? I think I saw a prop this morning already. It was like 2 minutes and 20 seconds or something, if you think the over under.
All right. Well, yeah, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks listening to more Demi Lovato than I have in my entire life, times a million. So figure out what her cadence is.
Yeah.
See if we can find any old national anthems that she sang.
That's right. We'll come in here with some winners. It's always fun, Super Bowl. There's a ton of props, and I know a lot of people out there play in their pools. It's a little different. I know I'm in a pool where I'll get about 50 questions. Of course, you get the random heads or tails, but you get some other stuff too for score, who's leading at half. We'll tackle all that stuff for you guys. Any questions at M. Beller, at Chris Meanie. Again, Beller is on the Green Bay Packers, and we are both on the Chiefs, and I will go the other way with San Fran and try to come up with a W. Best of the board. We'll be back in a couple weeks.